This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's looking like the U.S. and India won't be able to reach a trade deal before President Trump visits the country. A Reuters report says India has proposed new tariffs that have complicated the negotiations. The U.S. and India Business Council tells reporters that the hopes were fading for the two sides to be able to quickly bridge the gap in their efforts to restore some U.S. trade preferences for India, as well as improve market access for selected U.S. farm products. Quote, "We're still hopeful that some kind of agreement could be reached," unquote, said the council in a statement. "We do recognize that and acknowledge that both governments have been indicating that an agreement is likely not to happen at the stage of the talks." Trump himself is sending mixed messages on the possibility of a trade agreement with India. "We're going to India and we may make a tremendous deal there," he says. "Maybe we'll slow it down and do it after the election. We'll see what happens. But we will only make deals if they are good deals that put America first." A spokesman for India's foreign ministry says they won't rush into a trade deal with the U.S. unless there is a balanced outcome that's both good for both countries. U.S. pork producers don't seem optimistic about a potential trade deal with the European Union coming together anytime soon. Nick Giordano is the Vice President of Global Government Affairs for the National Pork Producers Council. Giordano tells Politico that he's very skeptical that the two sides will even reach a mini-agreement in the weeks ahead. He feels the real goal should be a comprehensive trade pact covering all sectors of agriculture. Quote, "It's outrageous that a market of that size with that level of income is so close to us," Giordano says. "They're stealing jobs from us because of their protectionism, and that's unacceptable," unquote. The VP says there will be widespread support in the U.S. agricultural economy for the Trump administration to take tough action against the EU if there are no concessions regarding a more open EU market. Meantime, U.S. cattlemen might annually sell $4 billion worth of beef to China within the next 5 years. Kent Baucus, the senior director of international affairs, with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the Phase 1 trade deal and the meat shortage in China caused by African swine fever should drive U.S. beef exports higher. Quote, "We haven't even scratched the surface of the Chinese market yet," he says. "There's a tremendous amount of unmet protein demand in China." In other ag news here from the United States, President Trump took to Twitter again to talk trade. There has been questions on the possibility of more trade aid distribution this year, with the president seemingly saying it's a possibility. Quote, "If our formerly targeted farmers need additional aid until such time as a trade deal with China, Mexico, Canada, and others fully kick in, that aid will be provided by the federal government, paid out for the massive tariff money coming into the USA," he said in a Friday tweet. However, the Hagstrom report says Trump isn't technically accurate when he says aid will come out of the tariff income. The money comes from the Commodity Credit Corporation, which was set up back in the 1930s as a way to distribute aid to farmers. The CCC is a division of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It has a line of credit set up that the Treasury Department that Congress replenishes. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue has told farmers recently to not expect more trade aid in 2020. The Trump administration has already paid out a total of $28 billion in trade aid by way of payments to farmers, trade promotion, and purchases of food items for distribution to food shelves across the country. The USDA's top economist has predicted agricultural trade will return to normal this year. USDA's chief economist Robert Johansson says farm exports to China will rise from $10 billion last year to $14 billion this year. That slight $4 billion jump doesn't quite add to the $40 billion in U.S. ag products that China committed to import from the U.S. under the Phase 1 trade deal. Johansson says the forecast, quote, "reflects public information that's available right now on Phase 1," unquote. Later, he added that the calendar year predictions don't completely include the Phase 1 commitments. However, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says that China's import commitments were not included in Johansson's estimates. We expect to exceed that, certainly, Perdue told reporters. An AgriPulse report says Johansson noted that improved exports this year should help farmers' bottom lines in 2020, while lower interest rates would reduce borrowing costs and strengthen land values. USDA is projecting a corn price at $3.60 a bushel this year. That's down 4% from last year. The price of beans is expected to be at $8.80 a bushel, 1% higher than last year, and wheat prices are predicted to average $4.90 per bushel. That's up 8% from last year. Moving on now into Midwestern Ag News. An Indiana company is working to improve safety on America's farms, which are one of the most dangerous places to work on in the country. Ashley Davenport has more.
A 2019 report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics ranked farming and ranching as the seventh most dangerous occupation in the U.S. There were 257 fatal injuries and 280 non-fatal injuries reported last year. A Good Day's Work is trying to reduce those numbers by providing a resource to train employees beyond meeting OSHA requirements to build a culture of safety on the farm. According to Safety Director Marty Huseman, it was difficult to find training relative to agriculture. A Good Day's Work set out to create more than 30 different types of real-life scenarios on actual farms to talk about all aspects of safety, and that includes grain bin safety.
We have a class for that. It really kind of gets people to think through what they're doing. We don't want to see people working alone. That's just a number one mistake. Grain bin is really a confined space, so it needs to be treated as such, and we'd really like to see employees be taught how to put on a harness and how to know how to be tied off anytime they enter a grain bin.
Huseman says that farmers should never enter a bin with moving grain, and there should be a lockout tagout system in place on the farm as well. Air quality is also important when it comes to grain bin safety.
If there's molds or something growing in the bin, it can deplete the amount of oxygen. We need about 19.5% oxygen. To really know that, we really need to have a gas monitor. Those probably aren't on many farms, but they should be.
Aside from harnesses and a gas monitor, Huseman says another tool you should have is ear protection, especially when you're around during the drying process.
We want to protect our hearing. Anything over 85 decibels is potentially damaging. We think, oh, we'll just do that in little spurts. It should be okay, but hearing loss is accumulative. But if we know those things now, it doesn't take much to put on some muffs or put in some plugs. It's the little things that we do now in our younger years so that we don't pay the price when we get older.
To learn more about A Good Day's Work and providing video training for your operation, visit agooddayswork.ag.
Thank you, Ashley. Now moving on into state ag news. Governor Pritzker essentially maintained the Illinois Department of Agriculture's budget for agricultural and natural resource programs, but also acknowledged the department's increased responsibilities related to industrial hemp and adult-use cannabis. During Pritzker's budget address on Wednesday, the governor noted cannabis sales are expected to generate $46 million for the General Revenue Fund for fiscal year 2021. The Department of Ag's proposed $119.3 million total budget includes $47.9 million from the State General Revenue Fund, $3.3 million of an increase from fiscal year 20. Appropriations include $500,000 for industrial hemp, $7.8 million for cannabis, and maintaining the $2.6 million for medical cannabis. Pritzker proposes adding more Department of Ag employees for a total of 320. Staff involved with cannabis oversight will increase from 8 to 48. Illinois Department of Ag's projects the state will issue 40 licenses for craft cannabis growers, 21 for cultivation centers, 40 for cannabis infusion, and 100 for cannabis transport. The Department of Ag would double available funding for a cover crop incentive program related to crop insurance from $300,000 to $600,000. Farmer depleted the 50,000-acre cap within days of the first signups in December. Soil and Water Conservation Districts would again receive $4.5 million for operations and $3 million for cost share. For the fiscal year starting July 1st, the Department of Ag would receive stable funding to fulfill ongoing regulatory responsibilities with $7.4 million for pesticide administration, $1.2 million for ag product inspection, including fertilizer and feed. County Board match funding for the U of I extension would be maintained at $10.994 million, with Cook County extension receiving $2.4 million. Level funding is budgeted for fairs and expositions at $900,000, county fair rehabilitation at $1.3 million, and county fairs and ag societies at $1.798 million. The capital fund budget includes $1.85 million for permanent improvements at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield and $750,000 for the State Fairgrounds in DuQuoin. Other related ag proposals include maintaining $5 million for the agricultural education line item, which provides incentives for secondary ag programs that meet standards, and extended year contracts for high school ag teachers and development. 6:40 here on your Monday morning. In other news from around the state, the Grain and Feed Association of Illinois elected the following members to the executive committee at their 127th annual meeting and trade show a few weeks ago. Kent Sorrells of Sorrells Elevator in Raymond was elected as second vice president of the Grain and Feed Association. And in addition to Kent, Spencer Jansen of Farmers Grain in Litchfield and Fillmore was approved as the new South Area Director of the State Grain and Feed Association. So congratulations to those two in our local area for being newly elected on the Grain and Feed Association Board. And coming up later on this week, the U of I Extension will be hosting a Starting Seeds Indoors workshop that will be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. Andrew Holsinger will present varieties of techniques for starting seedlings indoors before you decide to plant them later on this spring. The program will take place on Wednesday from 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon. Cost for the program is $5 and will include handouts. Pre-registration is due by tomorrow, Tuesday, and you can do so by visiting their website, extension.illinois.edu/cjmm, or by calling the Hillsboro Extension Office at 532-3941. And you can find all that information, again, on their website, extension.illinois.edu/cjmm. And that'll wrap it up for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us or anything for our Ag Community Bulletin Board, you can send those items to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, February 24th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.